Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is Reformation Week here at Issues Etc., and we have chosen as a theme for a series of interviews, Paths to Lutheranism. Today, we're going to talk about the path from Calvinism to Lutheranism. As a Lutheran, I have not spent a lot of time asking myself whether or not I am among the elect. That question is pretty much answered by Christ himself when he assures me that he has given his life for the sins of the whole world. I'm part of the world. He's given his life for all. I'm part of all. For every sinner, I'm certainly part of every sinner. And if he has died for me and died for the world, then the question of my election is answered already. It can only assure me to know that Christ has died for me, and that was determined before the foundation of the world by God himself. For Calvinists, it's a trickier question, and it's a more frequently asked question. Am I among the elect? Why is that? Why is that so often a question, not only in terms of the system of theology, but pastorally, why is that question answered in the system of Calvinism? Well, not answered in the system of Calvinism, but so very often asked. Joining us to talk about the path to Lutheranism from Calvinism, Dr. Leonard Payton, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Forest Park, Illinois, and author of a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled From Possibility to Reality. Leonard, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.
Your journey was from Calvinism. What initially attracted you to that system of theology?
I grew up in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but left towards the end of high school and was for a number of years in broad evangelical Baptist kinds of congregations. And they were very emotive. Everything depended on if you had accepted Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. And you could wake up from one day to the next and wonder, gee, was I really sincere? It's a little like Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas Past. Perhaps you are a bit of undigested cheese. And so Calvinism was not an emotive faith. It was a faith rooted in the Word of God, to its credit, I would say, but not dependent on emotion.
You say that the Calvinism of your past didn't work pastorally. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that will come up again and again within Calvinism, I mean, you're dealing with humans and their thinking and their emotions and the whole collection of who they are. And Calvinism presents this question, am I one of the elect or not? And it has no way of really answering that pastorally, where in Lutheranism we do.
So why is it that election is so important to Calvinists?
It's a tidy system. They begin with the glory of God and his actions, and you can account for everything that way. It's as though from the foundation of the earth, God made a very clean pile on this side and a very clean pile on that side, and the sum total was completely accounted for. These will be saved and those will not, and history has already been written. And so you can imagine the poor soul in real time then wonders, gosh, am I one of the elect or not?
What was the greatest strength and the greatest weakness of Calvinism for you?
At the time, that I came to Calvinism, I would say its greatest strength, and I say this to its great credit down to this day, it made it very clear to me that God does all the saving. Now, you know, in Lutheranism, we fiercely adhere to that as well. But for me, this confrontation with Calvinism coming out of broad evangelicalism, which is, you know, at least somewhat Arminian, it was refreshing to know that my salvation did not depend on me, but on God's election. As for weakness, there is that problem of, if God has elected me, how can I know that? And that's where the person inside of Calvinism gets caught into all kinds of torment of the soul and really no way out if you are consistently a Calvinist.
Well, theology abhors a vacuum, a bit like nature, so there must be some answers provided at least, or if not from the system itself, answers that the Calvinists like yourself in those days would gravitate towards. So when you struggled with that question, okay, there are the elect and there are those who are not elect, how do I know I'm the former rather than the latter? What kind of answers do you naturally end up with in Calvinism?
Well, I've actually witnessed this process firsthand. Church I served in, which was a Calvinist church, and I was the church musician. There was a young man who was going through this struggle, and it was a multi-staff church, and he would go from one pastor to the next, and their answer was, well, you just have to have faith. And, but how do I do that? How do I know that I'm one of the elect? Well, you just have to have faith. And when you press it out even further, then the next step would be to turn to a very famous passage in 2 Peter that talks about how you make your calling and election secure. It says, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control add to that steadfastness, and to steadfastness godliness. Whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, so that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And it is true when we this looks a lot like the fruit of the Spirit list in Galatians chapter 5. It is true that when we see that happening in our lives, there is a joy and there is a sense of well-being in the Lord, and that's a good thing. However, if we look at that as our chief way of knowing about our election, then what happens is one of two things. Either I work very hard at this and I succeed, but then I realize, oh my, my salvation is based on my good works. Or I work very hard at this and I keep failing, and therefore I must not be one of the elect. So it's a sad, vicious circle that happens. Now, unfortunately, and maybe we're ahead of ourselves in this one, but the sad process here is that the means of grace are not accounted for. So if instead one looked at the promises made in Christ, then the sense of well-being and that confidence that God loves you would be completely different. Promises that are attached to really the sacraments, in particular to baptism, you know, the promise that we've been buried with Christ and that we rise to walk in newness of life, and that baptism clothes us with Christ, it covers us, it's atonement, that baptism is the the circumcision of the heart. And then this most audacious claim of all from Peter himself, that baptism now saves us. I just don't know. It boggles my mind that one would discount the power of those claims in order to satisfy a philosophical, theological system that is driven by a double predestination, a decree of election and a decree of damnation. None of that is helpful when you're in the pastoral care moment. The only thing that's helpful is Christ really for me, and what has he done, and how has he made it mine by name? And nothing is more convincing of that than baptism, when you by name are named and adopted into this family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Since we are on that subject of baptism, for the thoroughgoing Calvinist, why mm-hmm. can't they point to baptism? What do they teach about baptism that would make it impossible to say, here is your certainty, you have been baptized into Christ, you are God's mm-hmm. child?
It's because this double predestination really defines their system. So when you ask, generally, when you ask a Calvinist about, well, what does baptism do, the most common answer is something like this. Well, it brings you into the covenant. And then you ask, well, what does that mean? Good Lutheran question there, right? What does that mean? Well, it puts you into the best place to hear the Word of God and exercise faith. Well, then you would wonder, well, gee, why then does this water matter? Because you can sit in that same chair and hear those same words anyway, exercise faith anyway. So why does baptism matter at all? And usually a Calvinist will not. This is a point of squirming. I hasten to add that there are a few Calvinists who really will talk about baptism saving, and will stop right there. They will take their stand there, but that's the exception, not the rule.
We're talking about the path to Lutheranism from Calvinism. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Forest Park, Illinois, and author of a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled From Possibility to Reality. We frequently hear from Lutherans in the Bible Belt who bemoan the fact that they live in a wilderness of American evangelicalism. Well, that's one of the reasons why next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference is in Dallas, Texas. If you live in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, come on out and join Lutherans from around the world for our Fall 2018 Making the Case Conference. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free, courtesy of Luther Academy. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case is Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. When we come back, we'll talk about the main difference between Calvinism and Lutheranism. Dr. Leonard Payton says it's where the two start.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260 952-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
This was my first time going, and I was extremely thrilled with everything that was provided, from the materials to being able to meet the speakers and authors of books.
Ben from Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Thank you for putting on the conference and providing the educational material that we can use in our world today.
Learn more about our fall Making the Case conference at issuesetc.org.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and to mark the occasion, the Lutheran Witness is tackling ministry and mental health. Some articles focus on life in the ministry, others deal with emotional wellness generally, still others, including what are perhaps the most powerful pieces of writing in this power-packed issue, grapple with the complicated and often thorny relationship between the two. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Germantown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. And Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our theme is Paths to Lutheranism today. We're talking about the path to Lutheranism from Calvinism. Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest. Leonard, you say that the main difference between these two, Calvinism and Lutheranism, not only their individual teachings or emphases, but really where the two respectively begin.
Yeah. For Calvinism, you start with God as an abstraction and the glory of God is your chief article. For Lutherans, we don't know anything about God apart from knowing Christ. So we start with Christ. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, this is not to say that Calvinists are not Christians. It's not the case at all. But the way they arrive at Christ and what he has done is not with him as the starting point, but with God as really as an abstraction.
By contrast, so we've got Calvinism that begins with, I often have said, kind of a list of God's attributes, primarily his sovereignty. They all kind of come under the umbrella of his sovereignty. And so what I hear you saying is that Lutheranism, by contrast, says we're not going to deal with God in the abstract or in terms of his characteristics. First, we're going to deal with the one who has come to reveal him and how precisely this God, who we will talk about later, is revealed in particular in this incarnation, suffering, death, resurrection. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, that's right. We start with the one who holds the universe together by the word of his power is in Mary's lap and needs to have his diapers changed by her. We don't simply start with the one who holds the universe together as Almighty God hidden far away. No, we start with God who's come to us to be tempted as we are without sin, to experience our life and to be our brother, our older brother, and our flesh and blood, him whom we can know as a human who also is God.
I've put it this way, Leonard, and I wonder what you think of this. I do have a tendency to oversimplify. With respect to one of the other cardinal doctrines of Calvinism, a limited atonement, which is, goes hand in hand with all the things we've been discussing, that Jesus did not die for all, but only for the elect. I've put it this way. If Jesus did not die for all, you can never be absolutely certain that he died for you.
Yeah. One day, this young man I talked about who had talked to the Calvinist pastors and they had told him that he needed to have faith, he walked into my office and said, you know, Dr. Payton, quite literally, he walked in the door and said, Dr. Payton, I think I'm not one of the elect. And I said to him, are you part of the world? Yeah. Do you know this verse? God so loved the world that he gave his son? Yeah. So did God so love you? Yeah. Or Luther would say it this way from John chapter 1, where John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It takes away the sin of the whole world. He really does. And so you can say with confidence that God really does desire that all be saved. And when you see somebody in front of you, you can be confident that God loves that person and wants that person to be saved. You can do that.
So for you, how did you come to the Lutheran confession? We've talked a lot about the uncertainty under which Calvinism places the believer.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to the Lutheran confession?
Well, you know, again, this is an odd and complex pilgrimage because I did grow up in the Missouri Synod. And so throughout my wandering, I was within broad evangelical and Calvinist congregations for about 25 years. But throughout that time, the substrate of my thinking, and I wasn't aware of it, was what I had learned in junior confirmation from the small catechism. And I began using it when my children were small. You know, my children are all grown and married and have kids now. But when they were small, I began using Luther's small catechism in my family life because it is as the head of the family should teach it in a simple way to his household. And as I did, I just was running more and more up against the confessional divergence from, say, the Westminster Confession and Shorter Catechism as compared with Luther's Small Catechism in the Book of Concord. And eventually there came a point where, in good conscience, I needed to make the shift. And I hasten to add that it was very, very difficult because the people in the Presbyterian Church in Austin were dear and wonderful people, and I love them to this day. I think very highly of them to this day. But I needed to make that shift. It was a booming church. We were having lots of small children, and I remember it was about every 3 or 4 weeks we would have a baptism, and there would be the young parents holding this infant, and the pastor would say, well, baptism doesn't make little Johnny a Christian. He needs to exercise faith, but baptism brings him into the covenant. And you could just see the parents' faces, you know, the clouds going over the sun. It's like, oh my goodness, little Johnny might not make it. There was no comfort here in what was going on in the baptism itself. And I knew that was coming. I'd be driving to church and my family was in the van and I knew we were having a baptism. And so I would say, okay, is it the Word of God that creates our faith, or is it our faith that makes the Word of God effectual? I just said that over and over to them. No, it's the Word of God that makes our faith. If the Word of God is present, it does these things. It is means of grace. And so the Word of God connected with water is a washing of regeneration.
Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest. It's Reformation Week. Our theme, Paths to Lutheranism from Calvinism, is today's conversation. I'm intrigued by that statement that baptism doesn't make Johnny a Christian, but it does bring him into the covenant. What was that supposed to mean? We'll find out after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
By the Contrarii of Concordia Theological Seminary, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Here's what Barbara recently wrote about LPR. LPR sacred music and programming is my go-to listening source throughout the day. The music is soothing, inspirational, and calming in a media world of chaos, violence, and catastrophe. The music reminds me that our Savior is in charge. Plus, I get my daily chores accomplished at the same time. Thank you, LPR. You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio anytime, anywhere on the LPR mobile app and at lutheranpublicradio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues. We're talking about paths to Lutheranism. Today, it's the path to Lutheranism from Calvinism. Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest. I'm intrigued by something you said before the break, Leonard. The pastor, when he was baptizing there at the Presbyterian Church, said something to the effect of baptism doesn't make Johnny a Christian, but it does bring Johnny into the covenant. What was that supposed to mean?
Yeah, to this day, I do not have a good answer for that. I truly do not. I know that it was common practice in Calvinist and Zwinglian churches, especially in Baptist and non-denominational churches, many of which are basically Baptist churches, that the baptism is something that you do in obedience following Christ as opposed to something that God is doing to you. So I truly do not, Todd, I do not have a good answer to that question.
So what did Lutheranism offer in response to the various deficiencies in Calvinism? If you would give us some examples, what did it say that Calvinism could not or would not say that gives this certainty so absent there?
Right. It actually gave the certainty that Calvinism craves. And that is to know that the sovereign God is at work. In this way, both Calvinism and Lutheranism maintain that God does all the saving. We call that divine monergism. There is not a stronger statement of divine monergism than an infant being baptized, because the infant can do nothing for him or herself at all, which, by the way, we confess in the third article of the Creed, that I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts and so on. So Lutheranism actually does what Calvinism wants. And every now and then, my Calvinist friends will see that, and it's like the world goes from black and white to color for them.
Are there questions, and I think we need to set this in contrast to Calvinism, is a very tight, logical, and intellectually satisfying system. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. It is what detracts an awful lot of Christians to kind of traditional Calvinism. By way of contrast, are there questions that Lutheranism simply does not answer?
Calvinists are the smartest Christians, just hands down. They really are. And because they're smart, there's this strong need, felt need to have everything tied up. But, you know, when you ask something like, am I one of the elect or not? As Lutherans, we don't tie that one up. We simply point to the means of grace and the promises in Christ. And then we just simply leave that alone. Or when Jesus says of a piece of bread, this is my body, and it's for you for the forgiveness of sins, we don't ask how can that be. We already saw in John chapter 6 that people who ask that leave. And so when Jesus says, this is my body, we say, okay, we don't understand this. We don't need to. The promise is good enough. The person speaking it is good enough. And we leave it alone. So Lutheranism can be very frustrating because it has these intellectual loose ends. I also find that in our postmodern time, where people have a higher sense of mystery, that Lutheranism can bring great comfort to them. To have a pastor say, gee, I don't know the answer to that, is not disquieting for some people.
I have this theory, Leonard, about Calvinism, and it kind of ties some things together, and I wonder if you would concur. The theory is, what you find in Calvinism is sometimes people who are five-pointers, the classic mm-hmm. tulip, And then you have people who are 4.5-pointers or 3-pointers. And then you have people who adhere to this confession that is traditional in Calvinism, and others who prefer a different confession. There's so much variation there. And I think that's a lot of that is driven by the struggles we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
It's efforts to answer this, the question of certainty. So they go outside of Calvinism, or they kind of tinker with the system.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what a Lutheran believes, teaches, confesses, we can point to the Book of Concord, mm-hmm. and we can say, here it is. Why is it so difficult to find something similar like this among people who call themselves Calvinists, where they can say, right there, that's what Calvinists believe, not just right there, that's what I, as a particular Calvinist, may believe?
I don't know that I've thought a lot about that. Why there's a Belgic confession, and why there's a Heidelberg confession, and why there's a Westminster confession, and they do seem to be more ethnic, if you will, slightly different focuses. So, for example, if you look at the Heidelberg Catechism, it is more of it's a gentle kind of soft Calvinism. Whereas if you look at the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it almost reads like a chemistry book. And indeed, it was the youngest member of the Westminster Assembly who I believe was a geometry teacher at Oxford or Cambridge. I don't know exactly, but he was some kind of mathematician, and he wrote this catechism. And it's not really written for one who already believes. It's written as though the person reading it will not believe it. So I don't know if I'm getting to your question there. It is an odd problem. You know, will the real Calvinist stand up? Hard to know. As to the inconsistencies, I've seen them, and they're beautiful to watch, the pastoral inconsistencies. There are great Calvinist pastors, there really are, who are good at care of the soul. It just so happens that when they are caring for souls, they just step outside of the system, you know? I'm confident that Jesus loves you. It's forgetting for a moment the whole double predestination construct. Our theologian, Franz Pieper, called these felicitous inconsistencies. And God be praised for felicitous inconsistencies. It's why we can rejoice that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who have all kinds of labels. The felicitous inconsistencies have a way of eradicating the things that don't really fit with true Christianity.
Finally then, Leonard, what would you say to a Calvinist who is struggling to apply his system to the real spiritual questions and struggles that beset Christians, especially that of certainty of salvation? What would you say to such a Calvinist?
Well, first off, I'd be careful with what I said, because he'd probably be smarter than me. But I would say things that are very simple and straightforward. So, for example, if Peter says baptism now saves us, why would you make it any less than that? If that's what the Holy Scriptures say, why would you make it any less than that? I would do that really with all the passages that talk about the means of grace. And let them work through the double predestination at their own pace. Just talking about the promises of Christ as they are there in Scripture is a refreshing thing. It's a beautiful thing. I'd go with that.
Dr. Leonard Payton is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Forest Park, Illinois. He's author of a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled From Possibility to Reality. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Payton, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio, please support this worldwide outreach by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include an I Have Issues t-shirt, books, transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more at issuesetc.org and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Lynn at 618-223-8385. That's 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues tomorrow. We'll discuss from agnosticism to Lutheranism with Pastor Christian Teves, and we'll discuss the Second Commandment and Daniel in the Lion's Den with Pastor Peter Bender. The uncertainty, you can't live with it. If you live in that theology where you ask yourself on a daily basis, am I really among the elect? Did Jesus really die for me? You need a new theology where Jesus really did die for you because he died for everyone. And you don't worry about your election because Jesus' blood covers every sin and he died for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.